Quietus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief.
Can you hear that sound? That ringing. That hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly. Everywhere I go. It doesn't go away. It drives me nuts.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear caused by loud machines.
Loud music.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I love Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound. Quiet relief so I can work.
No more ringing. No more loud fans.
And I sleep like a baby.
If you're suffering from tinnitus, I urge you to try Quietus.
After trying Quietus, the ringing stopped and I felt like I got my life back.
Quietus is real, my friend.
Quietus has changed my life.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Well, I may be cheap, but...
You're very cheap. There's nothing to debate about how cheap you are.
Be quiet, please.
It's okay.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast, everybody. We're live for the first time in...
2 weeks.
A couple of weeks. It's good to be back here. We got a rocking show today.
We got
all kinds of stuff
show.
Going
I'm
on.
I'm excited.
A
all
little
right.
Italian, a little Turkish, a little colonial this, a little vampire stuff.
We got some vampire stuff. That fits in really, really well.
It's some crazy, one of those seven words I can't say.
Well, so Bon Temps, Louisiana is a picturesque Cajun town where the inhabitants have a bloody good time. I don't know anything about True Blood, but it is a TV show. And we have DC editor coming in, DC Modern Luxury editor, Karen Summershallett, coming in. She just dropped a new book, True Blood. She's going to be talking all about it. It's such a fun book. I don't even watch the show, but there's fabulous pictures. There's great recipes. And she's going to tell us how it all came to be.
Well, there are a lot of recipes for small bites. Thanks. Okay. All right. And dun, 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 I wish we had a drum roll here. A very good friend, a very old friend, and an unbelievable, he's like a legend, Roberto Donna, who is one of America's great Italian chefs. Great chefs. Is here with
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Come va? He's here. He's here with Hakan Ilhan, who is the owner of their new restaurant, Al Dente, which is over on New Mexico Avenue. And we're going to be hearing about what they're cooking up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And later in the show, even though it's the end of summer, the summer slows shouldn't be all you're thinking about. A lot of new restaurants are going to be opening next week. One just opened up this weekend, so we're going to be talking about that just a little bit.
I can't wait.
I know you can't wait.
I'm also excited.
And most importantly, the most important person in the room, we've got the mixologist here. We have Rob Yalu.
How come I can say it?
I mispronounce people's names. It's a terrible thing, but that's why I just... had you do it on your own. So we've got Rob
Yalu. Cute girls can get away with that, can't they? If I did it, you punch me out.
And Executive Chef Harper McClure are in. They are from the Federalist Restaurant in the Madison Hotel. We thank you guys both for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's start with these guys.
Okay, let's have it.
All right, so the Madison is one of D.C.'s legendary hotels, and you guys have just completed a huge renovation. You know, before we talk about the restaurant specifically, what's different there? I mean, I've been eating and staying and visiting the Madison since I was a kid there with my having lunch with my dad.
I was going to say, you've never stayed there with me.
No. Okay. No, that was...
Talk.
Wait, excuse me. I just want to say that's another show.
Dr. Phil, maybe? I don't know.
I didn't stay with Dr. Phil.
Basically, everything at the Madison is brand new except for the staff. We still have the fantastic, kind, caring, and very able staff that's been there for years. Mm-hmm. Restaurant, completely brand new, fully renovated. All of our guest rooms, meeting space, banquet facilities, everything has been redone.
All right, so it's...
In a particular style, I mean, the hotel was fairly... It was recently done less than 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Sure. The inspiration was... the inspiration for the design behind our restaurant was... Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Was that the idea was Thomas Jefferson comes back from France... brings some culture, but still has a farmhouse and still is kind of rustic. After some time in the U.S. government, making a little bit of money, he builds a new sort of more palatial estate, which is the inspiration for the design for the hotel.
Okay. And the restaurant's called The Federalist. And
is that also part of the inspiration? Does that all
absolutely.
Go hand in hand? So how did you, as the chef, use that in putting together your menu?
It's actually pretty easy.
Okay, and show over. Thank you, Howard.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good. I can do karaoke for the next 52 minutes.
We would say, you know, he's one of the original foodies in this country. He, you know, was inspired, first of all, by pasta, by the Italians and French, and was had a huge garden at Monticello. It grew, you know, 200-300 different varietals of heirloom vegetables, some of which he brought over from Europe, some of which... we're native here to the American soil. So it doesn't take much to kind of delve into what they were growing there and what was being produced in the country, you know, during that time period. And
so now, can I ask a stupid question?
Sure, absolutely.
Would the vegetables he was growing back then be considered heirloom? Are they
not
heirloom
then,
now,
no.
Right?
Now they've been revived, yeah.
Right. And so how are you taking that and... putting that into your menu? I mean, as you designed the menu, what were some of the things that you were looking to have on it?
Well, it's very ingredient driven for sure.
Okay.
So, and it's very seasonal. So mm-hmm. depending on what's, I've partnered up with 4 or 5 different farms around the area.
Okay.
The Freshlink growers in Virginia, Path mm-hmm. Valley, the Amish growers up in Pennsylvania, Earth and Eats in also from Pennsylvania, but Mennonite, quite a little different from the Amish. And it sort of asked them to grow us these varietals of vegetables. So we have, you know, our salad mix is being grown specifically just for us.
But I mean, are you using anything that, you know, isn't sort of common in other salads? Is there something from colonial times that sort
lots
of fell
different
out
herbs,
of-
you know, anise, hyssop, lemon balm, different types of tarragons that were grown during the time that.
And they just impart. Different flavors and your classic French
great.
Tarragon.
I mean, we try and have like 15, 16 different types of herbs and greens that all get tossed together.
Mm-hmm.
And it all rotates again on a seasonal basis.
Cool. Right, now, Rob, what about you? How does that translate to your mixology menu?
Well, for
you
got to
get to the mic. Sorry.
Well, for me, I mean, Harper brings in so much great stuff.
You gotta get closer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You go. Harper brings in so much great stuff, you know, every month. So I really take a kind of a cue from what he's bringing in and try to really create, you know, cocktails that are going to be seasonal. And
how often do you change your like there must be a cocktail menu and then mm-hmm. do you have specials? How do you do it?
Well, we have about 20 cocktails that we run, 20 to 25 on our menu at once.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of ideas, so I pretty much just put everything out there and just see what works.
Okay.
But we probably change it. We try to keep it as I would say as much as we offer, like as often as we change the food menu.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be seasonal.
About once a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to see something new. Mm-hmm. We definitely run specials as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, much as I get new product in, we'll think of an idea and we'll throw it on the menu.
Well, there's a good chance for a segue. What are you going to mix up first for us all?
No, we got lots of little bottles and things over there. What are you making?
Absolutely. So we're going to do, it's one of our features for the fall menu. We're mm-hmm. going to do a Stonewall. It's smoked pepper tequila that we infuse in-house.
Spicy?
It's pretty spicy. It's not
cool.
too hot. But
I like it spicy.
Yeah, we infuse a little bit of...
That's why she married me.
Yeah.
Thank you for that opening.
Oh, that's excellent. we infuse a little bit of smoked pepper tequila. And then we have, in that tequila, we put a little bit of cinnamon, ginger. Gets a little bit of apple cider.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do it with a little lime juice, a little curacao.
Sounds a little autumnal.
Don't forget about the peppers, dude.
And yeah, absolutely. Forgot about that.
What?
Cuban hot peppers as the garnish.
It's
really
fine.
Cool. Yeah, I get that from Park.
These Cuban hot peppers are grown for us by the Fresh Link in Virginia by a guy named Mr. Cabrera. Uh-huh. And they look exactly like habaneros. And so
but
we play
spicier?
A game. Yeah, I just eat them, and everybody thinks I'm eating habanero.
Okay. but they're not as spicy.
They're not spicy at all. They have just a touch of heat. Most of the heat in this drink comes from the tequila infusion.
Cool. Oh, Harper, you're such a kidder.
Oh, yeah.
What a sense of humor. All right, well, while Rob's mixing up that drink, let's turn to Hakan and our friend Roberto Donna and talk about al dente. How'd you two get together, I guess, is the first question.
I interrupt first? Well, we have to go back.
Oh, you want to go back to how you met Roberto?
I want to go back to how I met Roberto. I was
almost
not in
ruined
the food.
Our marriage.
I know. That's just one of the many things I could have
done. No, it's only because that's how much the cooking classes cost.
I started taking cooking classes with Roberto Donna almost 12 years ago.
Yeah.
At the Laboratorio. I love to cook, but I knew nothing about restaurants or this industry other than my own personal love for it. And I really would not be here today if I didn't start taking your cooking classes.
Yeah,
he really
nice.
Introduced
Thank
me
you.
To everything.
I was going
to
ask for a refund until then. Jeez.
They were cheap, the cooking classes.
Just gave it away. Not when you're stroking the checks, they weren't.
They were so much fun.
Well, she was coming every week.
I know. They were so much fun.
I think you took at least 100 of those cooking classes.
I probably took at least 50 or 60 classes, yeah. Easily. It was great. It was so much fun. So
it was
anyway.
The Friday lunch club.
Friday lunch.
That's great. No, of course, I was at work.
Starting at 10 a.m.
Yeah. They were all drunk before I started to cook.
All right. Well, let's go from then to now.
Okay.
So
yes.
Here you are. The two of you are together at Al Dente. Al Dente is over on New Mexico Avenue right near Chef Jeff, correct?
That's right.
Yes. I think Mr. Hakan should, he's the one.
All right, Mr. Hakan, tell us how you guys got together.
Well, we put together La Forchetta, that was the previous name, as you know. Mm-hmm. And we were looking for a talent in the kitchen. And we have a mutual friend that knew Roberto. And he put us in touch. I flew Roberto and his wife from Arizona to Washington, D.C. We had lunch.
What, were you being a cowboy or something out there? What were you doing?
No, he's cooking out in Arizona.
Well, I went there. I was going to open a restaurant for a company.
I just had a vision of you on a horse with a 10-gallon hat.
And so we kind of hit it off together. And
you have other restaurants.
Yes, I do.
So, but the two of you had never met before?
Never met before.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Absolutely,
interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was the first time that we met. And but I've been to his restaurants, of course.
Of course.
And that's how it all started. And we got together. And Roberto's talent is, of course, unquestionable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have an organization that works. And it seems to be working pretty well.
Now, but how did your concept come together? Because it's very different from your other restaurants.
It is. I mean, you know, we have a variety of concepts, mm-hmm. franchises, and, you know, I also have a restaurant at Reagan National Airport, National Airport Grill. Mm-hmm. But this was my first attempt into a trattoria, an Italian concept.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we actually did the things the other way around. We first set up the location design. We engaged an architecture firm from Atlanta that designed the concept. And everything was put in place. Then just before we were opening up, we started looking for a quality chef.
Okay.
And so that's how it kind of came together.
So once Chef came in, mm-hmm. I mean, was the menu completely in your hands? What, did you want to say something?
No, it's your show. I'm just here. I'm here to look pretty.
He knows how it works.
Actually, I mean, when Roberto came, of course, we gave everything to his control in terms of menu. And what Javi wanted to present, mm-hmm. and all the, you know, things that we needed to purchase to display the food, plates and things like that. So it was all this.
Well, what I was going to ask you is your background is really fine dining. You're here in a really more of a neighborhood restaurant setting.
Right.
How does that, I don't know, how does that affect your thinking about the menu and the, you know, the whole offering?
Well, you know, Yeah, you have to go back to the base of all of it. It's Italian cuisine, you know, it's Italian food, you know. So Italian food really is a rustic, is rustic food, you know. Even fine dining is a rustic food that is just been modified.
It's
and,
just put on China?
just made more expensive.
it's just, you know, techniques change, and but the base has to be, you know, our dishes have been there for 100, 150 years, 200 years, you know, 300 mm-hmm. years. So there is nothing really that you have. The taste of the flavor and the taste of the dish is that one, you know. So you can just present it in a different way, make a little bit lighter, a little bit more modern. But, you know, for me, if you cook in Italian food, it has to taste like it's originally was tasting.
Okay. Well, I want to talk more about that, but we have to take a quick break. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be spinning some pasta. We'll be back in just a sec.
Drive your kids in the car without them wearing seatbelts, would you? So why leave them unprotected when you're gone? Learn about the latest techniques for maximizing your wealth and protecting your assets for your heirs. Join me, Wayne Zell, for Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I'm an estate planning attorney with Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Each week, we talk about how you can realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. That's Blueprint for Wealth, Saturdays at 10 a.m., right here on 1500 AM.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. March for Babies! Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Hey, benvenuto a tutti. We're back with Roberto Donna and a whole conversation about Al Dente, which is the new restaurant in Northwest Washington on New Mexico Avenue, where he is now running the kitchen. And Roberto, one of the things that we talked about right before the break was this, you know, whether the concept, the menu is really, you know, you have to morph it for a neighborhood environment,
yeah.
But
yeah, it's because when Mr. Khan brought me over, you know, we sit down and we talk, and he expressed what was his idea and the concept that he wanted to develop over mm-hmm. there. That it was a neighbor place.
I think, you know, my idea was that, you know, times were different, they had changed, and it was not really cool to spend a lot of money in, you know, going out for a dinner anymore, and we had to bring a high quality food at a very friendly environment at a very reasonable prices. So that's how we kind of.
You are a man after my own heart.
No kidding.
I think I love you.
So what can people find on the menu? I mean, when you say just pasta, I mean.
Well, no, it's not only pasta. You know, we have. Right. Well, first of all, you know, we have a lot. We have a beautiful wood burning oven. We make a great pizza. You know, mm-hmm. and you can find all the pizzas on. On the website.
Did you bring in a pizzaiolo, or are you?
No, I didn't. No. We started with an Italian pizzaiolo.
This looks like a frittata, am I right?
Yeah, that's a frittata. That's on our brunch menu, because on Saturday, on Sunday.
I think I better try it.
We do. We serve brunch, and we do some frittata, we do some egg dishes. You know, we do some fried eggs with meatballs and... We have soft poached eggs wrapped in fontina and then
but
fried.
David and I were talking about this last night. Brunch.
It's
they don't
exactly.
do really brunch in Italy, do they?
No, because in Italy on Sunday lunch is an enormous meal. You know, usually it's the getting together, family getting together day, you know, so... Mama or grandma, we cook an enormous meal for four hours.
On Christmas Day when we were in Florence, we had that unbelievable boiled brunch. Remember that? That
It was terrible.
What do you mean it was terrible?
Christmas
we
Day.
Had one bad meal in Italy. Not the last time we were there, like 2 times
days ago. Out of the year, the Italians eat like crazy. I loved it. But on Christmas Day, the tradition is to boil everything.
Oh, what did you have?
We had boiled everything.
Everything was boiled, and it was just a bad restaurant.
No, it was boiled.
It was just not good. It was one bad meal.
It was
meal.
No bollito misto?
No, it was over.
No.
It was awful. It was over on the Altarno in Florence.
It was
and
a little
it was...
place we walked into. We were the only Americans in there.
You went to the wrong place.
Yes, we did.
I'm not going
to
blame you for being Italian.
It was one bad meal.
Because, you know, not everything boiled in Italy is bad. You know, bollito misto is very good, and we are going to put it on the menu this winter. So don't destroy my dish before I have to put it out.
First of all, salut, everybody.
Salute. Salute. We are getting drunk already.
For you out in the audience, that means we're drinking.
Oh, nice.
That's tasty. That is good.
That is real good. All right,
Wow, it's spicy.
So
nice.
What are you doing then? You know, you talked about sort of cost responsibility.
Right.
What about the wine list? What about how the wine list dovetails with what you're serving at the restaurant?
That was another thing, actually. That was Roberto's idea to really have a much bigger wine menu than what's...
No, he drinks a lot of wine.
And he's very knowledgeable about
it. You notice all the bottles disappearing?
I don't drink when I work.
I do, clearly.
But our wine list at Al Dente now, you know, Al Dente is not a new restaurant. I want to make a point because you said the new restaurant Al Dente, but you know, Al Dente, it is La Forchetta.
Right.
We just changed the name. You know? Anyway, the wine list is very, 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 very good and very, very reasonable, you know?
Well, I should ask, is it all Italian?
No, it's 95% Italian.
Yes. Well, I think that makes sense.
We gave a 5% to... Well, you know, because I know most of it, you know, I know Italian wines, you know?
Right.
I'm not an expert on American or French wine like in Italy.
Plus, it makes sense with the feel of the place, having been there. It's a very mod feel. Why did you go with that kind of design?
Actually, it was more our architect's input on that. We wanted to create a very modern Italian restaurant and yet, again, have the old feel to it, like having a Ferrari, let's say, in the middle of Rome, next to a very ancient building. So that's how we started with that, with the idea. We didn't want to do a classic Italian restaurant that, you know, that has been around for a long time, but something very modern, very Milano, very, very...
That's how it feels. It's very Milano.
I would prefer more Firenze.
No, but this is not. It's got a very mod feel. I love it.
Yes. And, you know, and with the chandeliers and with the...
The Papa
walls.
Red and everything.
Yeah.
No, it has a great, great look.
And also orange is more Italian color, like, you know, red would be more Spanish. And it just fits in very well, I think.
All right. Well, I want to make sure we've got about a minute that everybody knows exactly where the restaurant is and how to find you guys online, all the basic stuff.
We are at 3201 New Mexico Avenue. Very close to American University, and our website is aldentedc.com, and we are open from 11 o'clock till midnight every day, and also for brunch 11 till 3:30 on Saturday and Sundays.
All right, and
you do brunch both days.
Yes, we do.
Excellent.
We do brunch both days.
In the kitchen, not just one of the great chefs in Washington, but one of America's greatest chefs, Roberto Donna. Look at that smile. And he's got these occhiali, these glasses. They're very mod. You look like Lady Gaga a little.
Oh, my God.
I say that with love.
What is that?
I say that with love. All right. Well, thanks, guys. And everybody check out Al Dente.
Okay.
So speaking of, like, at least new names for restaurants, the joint's jumping. There are a lot of new restaurants opening up.
There are. We're going back to Harper and...
we are?
Yeah, we are.
Oh.
And Rob.
We're going back to you guys. We're not talking about these new restaurants. Talk about your restaurant, the Federalist.
This drink is delicious.
It's excellent.
Really good. When you said apple cider, I was kind of like, I don't love apple cider, but this is so, because it could be heavy. Apple cider can really lend a lot of heft to a drink, but this, it doesn't have that at all.
Yeah.
Why? What kind of apple cider are you using? Or you're just not using a lot of it?
The cider's coming from Twigo, Twigo Orchards. And I'm a cider snob because I come from upstate New York, and that's what we do. We do apples.
Excuse me. Yes. Okay.
And, you're probably the only one in America. You realize it. Cider snob?
Yeah.
Oh. What is that?
No, cider's very big.
There's lots of us
right
in upstate. They don't come down here very often. But Mark to me is, he makes a true apple cider. I mean, it tastes like the varietals that he grows, and he has three or four different types that he makes and produces and sells at the DuPont market.
So are you looking for an apple cider made with specific apples?
This one is made with Gallus.
Okay.
So it's
is that
got
a classic? I mean, I really don't know that much about apple cider.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, not a lot of people do.
Okay. Because
you're not a hayseed from the Finger Lakes region.
Whoa. Did you call me a hayseed?
No, I said I have hay fever.
Oh, okay. I see. The Gallus tend to not be quite so acidic.
Okay.
So they're a little bit sweeter, but like you said, you don't like the super heavy apple cider. Lots of that comes from the pressing.
Well, they're like syrupy and sweet. It's sticky.
They boil it down.
I know. That part I know. But, you know, like sometimes when you see a cocktail, when you're reading the description or when the bar chef is explaining it to you, you hear something like apple cider and your head, you know, your mind goes, oh, it sounds sweet and sticky. But like the spicy sounds, I like a spicy drink, so it's intriguing. But I feel like if it's counteracted with too much sweet, you lose the kick. Mm-hmm. But this was just perfectly balanced.
Yeah, I mean, we do.
You
we
need to get closer to the mic, because then only I can hear you and nobody else.
No, we definitely, I mean, we try to make all of our cocktails as balanced as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we definitely understand what you mean. Like reading a menu sometimes, you'll see, we use a lot of like really weird ingredients for our cocktails.
Like
so.
What? Tell me more.
Well, even for this drink in particular, I mean, you know, it's a smoked pepper tequila. It's got the cinnamon ginger sugar. It's got the.
And is that just you playing mad scientist behind the bar?
Well, I mean, this drink, a lot of my drinks, as well as this one, they're old cocktails. So I try to do as much as kind of the same thing as the kitchen will do.
Mm-hmm.
And the same, we'll did a ton of research when we opened. Still do a ton of research now. We try to look at really old cocktails before they were even called cocktails.
So the Stonewall is an old cocktail?
Yeah, absolutely. A Stonewall traditionally is any type of spirit. A lot of times use like brandy or bourbon with apple cider. We kind of just kicked it up to make it more complex, a little bit, give it a little bit more depth.
Were drinks back then, whenever back then is that we're talking about, was there more alcohol and more stuff in them? Were they stronger? Because the only thing in this drink that's missing is psilocybin, for God's sake. I mean, there's a lot going
on.
We've
tried it with psilocybin.
Have you? I'll bet you have. Yeah.
Can I try one of those peppers?
Absolutely,
I'd love to taste one and see what it's like.
All right, tell us about the peppers, too. That's
Harper.
Oh, the Cuban half peppers. Again, Grung, can you pass those down?
Thank you. Chef, you want to try one?
Look exactly like a habanero pepper. The it's a native variety to Cuba, and this guy, Mr. Cabrera, emigrated.
Even the red one.
Yeah,
too?
Ones, yeah,
yeah. He emigrated to America in the late '60s and brought his pepper seeds, and he grows these at the Heartland Institute in which is a Jesuit institute in Locustdale, Virginia.
God, these are delicious. They're almost like herbaceous.
Yeah.
They have really nice.
If you think about the fruit that chilies have.
That's a big word.
Herbaceous.
They come out every. The more I drink, the more SAT words I use.
We were using these also in the style that in Spain they eat fried padrón peppers.
Okay. Yeah, they serve those at a couple restaurants around the.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were deep frying these and putting them on top of our black bass dish with chanterelles and corn and a paprika emulsion.
So could you just deep fry a bunch of these and then serve them like popcorn?
Salt
like a snack?
Them up and serve them on wax paper. It'd be pretty tasty.
Maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You can call it the Nikki's treat on your menu.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you can have a new menu.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it the David's treat.
No, why wouldn't you?
We might have to charge more than $20 for it if you're going to have a drink.
What are you making next, Rob?
Next, we're going to do our bourbon milk punch. It's one of our classic. It's a very classic drink. It's always on our menu. We switch it up every season. Based on, you know, local ingredients, it'll always have bourbon, a little bit of milk, honey. We shake that up really nice. Every season we'll adjust a little bit. So for the fall,
you'll always have a milk punch, or you'll always have a punch.
We'll always have a bourbon milk punch, actually.
Okay.
In the summer, we did it with a little bit of berries. We had Harpo's bringing really great local berries, so we made a berry milk, a little bit of honey bourbon.
You guys are like a mutual admiration society.
Yeah.
It's really disgusting.
Jeez. Well, I mean, he makes my job a lot easier. He brings some really
Harpo,
good stuff.
Oh, Harpo, you're so great. Oh, Rob, you're so great. Blah, 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 blah.
But do people look at that and see milk punch and think, milk? I mean, that's not a classic. You wouldn't think of doing a lot of milk cocktails or drinks. So do people ask a lot of questions about that?
People ask a ton of questions. And no one likes booze in their, or milk in their booze, rather. Everyone loves booze, but no one likes milk in their booze. But we, it's a good selling point for us because I think we do a really good milk punch. It's a really classic cocktail. Martha Washington had a really cool recipe. And if you, I guess if we look into it, it sounds kind of weird, but the way we put it together really works. You know, it's very balanced, it's very smooth, and it changes every season. So,
all right, well, let's see what you got.
Get to making it. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Fooding the Beast. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're getting into Vampire Bites with Karen Summer Shallot. We'll be back in just a sec.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Federal News Radio, available on demand at federalnewsradio.com and on your smartphone with the free TuneIn Radio app.
federalnewsradio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. federalnewsradio.com, your source for federal news now.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
This makes me want to suck somebody's blood. You know what I'm saying? This music?
You came in.
Ooh, True Blood. All right, so we're back on Foodie and the Beast, and being beastly is probably appropriate here. Karen Summer Shallot is the editor-in-chief of DC Magazine, but she's also co-author of the new True Blood cookbook.
Indeed.
Cool. Permit me to introduce myself. So, are you a vampire?
Oh, you know, only in the evening hours.
Really? Really?
But she's out during the day. It's pretty cool.
That's why
it's
I married
amazing.
Nikki. It's those incisors. It's a... All right, so.
All right, we have to admit something.
Yes.
We've never watched True Blood.
Oh,
ever.
You're missing out. That's okay.
We know about it, but.
All of the four seasons, let's see, season five just wrapped.
Okay.
Four. Previous seasons are all available on DVD.
So we can catch up.
You can catch up, sure.
Okay, but can you hook us up a little bit?
Absolutely.
So I'm reading your book, and I'm trying to, like, get through it. I don't know who anybody is. We both had to look up whether or not Bon Tomps was a real play.
That's so cute.
Nikki did. I already knew.
We
really had no idea. You found out. It's a fictional town in northeastern Louisiana, just outside Shreveport. And the idea
it's
of the show...
It's a fictional town outside of Shreveport. Got it.
Yes. For all of you who know
you
exactly
need to write that
where
down.
Shreveport is.
Right. And Nikki was like, this place is cool. Let's go there.
Well, the idea being that Louisiana, of course, is soaked in lore, folklore of all kinds, and that this would be the perfect setting for a show inspired by supernatural beings. Vampires were just the first. Every season, every episode, it seems, another supernatural being is introduced.
We've got fairies and wolves.
Fairies and wolves.
What up with that?
Maenads and all kinds of things we've never heard of. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So, you know, what better god to worship than Dionysus for a place that's full of people hungry, lustful, thirsty for blood and other things.
Sounds like our house.
There you go. But what his so a Maenad is someone who a supernatural being that worships Dionysus.
Okay.
But what I thought was so interesting was that what they realized in creating True Blood was that with all this lust and all these, you know, the whole, we're doing a piece at DC Magazine now, that women prefer vampires versus men who prefer zombies. You know, this is very, my
Are
husband.
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, that's what they say.
Okay.
My husband watches this show.
Perfect marriage.
Plenty of men who watch the show, but it is really, truly all about lust of all kinds. And so what they did, setting it in Louisiana, where cuisine is such a central part of the culture, is that they brought in food and drink constantly. And some of it is to be consumed by human beings. And vampires
that was the part I didn't understand. I was
cannot
like,
eat.
Vampires don't eat, right?
That's right. So the idea
I only
being,
read one book of Twilight, just one.
Well, you're up on me.
Okay. You did not miss a thing.
Well,
just
I
so
appreciate
you know.
That. Thank
okay.
you. I was too busy watching True Blood, evidently. But the vampires themselves, the only way they could come into society, where they literally came out of the coffin, was that there is a supposedly synthetic blood that was created in Japan and allowed to sustain vampires on something other than humans.
Mm-hmm.
They call it mainstreaming. So that's the fundamental start of the show.
We had a cute
vampires and humans all together now.
Okay.
So that being, I'm sure you saw the cocktail section.
We did.
And it referenced True Blood, which is the synthetic blood. Now, the beauty of it is that HBO, they're whizzes at branding. Of course, we know this. So they created very early on an actual True Blood that people could buy. I'm not sure why they'd want to. But it's an orangey beverage, very syrupy, unlike that fabulous apple cider.
Like a soda?
It is. So the recognizing that perhaps that might be a hold up to people creating the cocktail recipes, we include an alternate recipe for this kind of True Blood substitute.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So did you dig in? So did you have to sit down with who'd you sit down with to come up with?
No, we'll back up a little.
Okay.
Did you know these people? Did you know the folks at the show?
I didn't. So I actually lived in Louisiana. I lived in New Orleans prior to coming back to Washington. Grew up here, born and raised, left for about 15 years, and the last 3.5 of them were spent in Louisiana. And so, in fact, it was a friend who reached out to me and said, "Hey, do you happen to watch True Blood?" I said, "Of course I watch True Blood. Yes, absolutely." He said, "Well, you know, it's a project I don't really want, but you're going to love it." Okay. So I dug in with the editor at Chronicle Books. And we started looking at the show from the lens of let's surface all the dishes, all the food that's in the episode, each episode. And we came up with 85 dishes that are rotated through
the show. That are actually in the show?
Absolutely. Almost to a dish. I would say there's a few that we couldn't do without, like the po' boy. You know, we needed to certainly include that in a Louisiana cookbook. And that had a character who would come in from New Orleans. That's in such a New Orleans staple. That's not really a Louisiana dish so much as it is a New Orleans staple. So we were able to bring that in. But just about every recipe was seen in the show itself.
So did you change any of the recipes? I mean, did you?
Well, no. She didn't get the recipes from the show. The food was actually served in the show. It's not
I understand that. But I mean, they're real recipes, right?
So how we did this is that if we had a bunch of cooks in this kitchen. So I actually, as anyone who knows me knows, I don't cook.
Right.
So that was the big joke. I'm writing a cookbook. I love to eat and write about it. But we had one of the foremost Louisiana recipe writers on this book, and that's Marcelle Bienvenu. She got her start at the Times-Picayune in New Orleans, which is actually the place that I came from prior to coming back to Washington. I was a reporter there. And she is Emeril's recipe writer. She really has such a handle on this cuisine. And so, interestingly enough, as we were rotating through each dish and I needed to write. So my part in this is that I wrote from the characters' voices, contextualizing every dish, from the episode that it came from.
Now, that was one of the things I found very curious, because each character's voice is very apparent. I mean, it's almost like a photo book in here with all the pictures. I mean, the way it's laid out is really impressive. But how did you sort of become one with the character? Did you actually talk to the actors, or who did you work with to sort of create those personas?
We had talked about Skyping with each of the actors. I thought that would be the most uncomfortable, embarrassing thing to speak in a character's voice. Really, what I love about writing is the ability to adapt to a different voice. And, you know, with a long career of writing and writing for different publications with different audiences, I've trained my ear and also how to write. So to be honest with you, it was, I had an intense relationship with my DVD player for 7 weeks.
Mommy is not watching TV. She is working.
Can you imagine?
I am working.
I had, at the time, my children were 4 and 6. They're 5 and 7 now. And, you know, this is such a racy show that it was like, honey, take the kids and go.
Right.
They had to be out of the house while mommy was working.
Okay.
So, and that's is fundamentally what happened. Scott's as big a part of this book as I am, because he actually took the kids, you know, every weekend for 7 weeks and got them out of the house, and I went to work.
Very good. Well, the end product is really beautiful. Tell us about some of the photography and how that all came to be. And, like, since she was writing all the recipes and you were doing the intro, how did the two of you work together on that?
Well, I have to give a big credit to Chronicle Books. They really understood how to merge the art from the show and also, of course, tremendous, as you said, food photography. And those were done completely separately. The best story that I have personally about working with Marcel is that I was working independently of the recipes. We had similar deadlines where they all came together. So every now and then, in order to really make it authentic, I had to get in touch. What are you putting in this particular dish? This is not a dish I can find, you know, a recipe for or one that I fundamentally would know. And so I emailed her one day and said, so are you doing a Creole potato salad or a Cajun potato salad? And she wrote me back. She said, what in the heck is a Creole potato salad? There ain't no thing.
Okay.
And I said, well, you wrote one for Emerald's cookbook, so I just wasn't sure. Yeah. And she wrote back and said, oh, that Emerald, he just wanted to kick things up a notch. There's no such thing. So when you really look at Louisiana, what's so interesting about it is, of course, it's called a gumbo of cultures anyway. And and really, and all of that manifests itself in New Orleans. And that's where I had a lot of experience and exposure to Creole and Cajun cuisine, which are very separate things.
Well, can you explain them?
Sure. As my good friend David Guas made it a little more clear the other day.
He's been in it just once or twice.
Just once or twice. In fact, I have to tell you, I was at Bayou Bakery last night.
Oh, for their big event?
They did a fantastic fundraiser for Roots of Music out of New Orleans, which is an amazing program. And every time we walk in there, we feel transported. I mean, truly. So, and they are great supporters on this project as well. But David and Simone. But the difference really is that the Cajuns, of course, came from, their French came in from Canada down to Acadiana.
They were Acadians, right.
Yeah. And then, of course, Creoles were actually, as I only just now learned it, we all think of the Creole culture as African infused. And it's true. It absolutely is. But Creoles originally, all that term meant was that you were the firstborn in America of two European parents. So interestingly enough, it actually was a European distinction to begin with. And then, of course, as we know, as the South integrated itself in its own ways, far before true integration, Creole became really Caribbean inflect. And so when you look at something like a jambalaya or a gumbo, the difference is actually in that the Creole will have tomatoes and okra, things that appeal to or were grown previously in Africa, came through the Caribbean and up into Louisiana. And then on the other side, when you have a Cajun cuisine, it'll be something really far more French inflect. And so what was interesting about the cookbook is that this is northeastern Louisiana. That is not Cajun country at all.
Okay.
But True Blood had the foresight to bring a Cajun character into the show. And so it also had the foresight, as I mentioned before, to bring a New Orleanian into the show. And so it really allows you a depth and perspective on the state of Louisiana. That's exciting, I think. But there's a lot of home country, home cooking.
Damn, girl, you know a lot. You all know a lot.
Well, you know, she had the damn thing.
Right. So now that you've written a cookbook, although you haven't
written a cookbook?
Written the recipes, I mean, did you cook at all? Did you try some of the recipes out?
God, Nikki, that would have been phenomenally smart.
Right.
Not yet. It's been in my possession now for a few days and indoors.
Oh, so you weren't testing
she
any of the recipes.
She doesn't cook.
I wasn't. No, but my husband's a fabulous cook. And he certainly has been. He's from New Orleans. And he's certainly brought some of that cuisine into our home kitchen, along with, you know, the Jewish cuisine we bring in. And
you should make Simone do it.
Yeah. Well, and we are actually going to do an event in October, October 11th, which happens to be my birthday as well.
Oh.
Book signing at Bethesda Row.
Oh, cool.
And we'll have
where at Bethesda Row?
Outside, tented. It'll be a big event. I'm sure the information is coming soon.
Right.
I believe the women from the Cupcake Girls will be there, too. Mm-hmm. Georgetown Cupcake. And there will be some bites and bits and drinks and to be tasted.
Fun. All right. Yeah.
Let's make sure everybody knows where to find the book. I just want to...
Amazon.com released it on the 5th. That was this week. And it's on bookshelves in Barnes & Noble for sure. And I'm sure you can find it in other bookstores.
Okay. Well, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back... Because you're doing a couple other book signings, right? Is anything else coming up that we need to know about?
Not confirmed yet.
Okay.
But you'll be the first to know.
Okay. All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
About smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the wish wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Like farmers markets? None's better than the fabulous Central Farm Markets in downtown Bethesda at Bethesda Elementary and in Rockville's Mid-Pike Plaza. Each has 40-plus vendors with huge selections of local natural meats, poultry, organic produce, cheeses, plus yummy pastries, pies, cakes, fresh breads, even seafood and more. Want prepared foods to go? They got that too. Bring the family, bring the dog to Central Farm Markets Sunday in Bethesda and Saturdays and Thursdays in Rockville. Visit centralfarmmarkets.com for details.
You say you want a revolution.
Well, we're back on Foodie and the Beast. I can't remember. Why did we want revolution? Oh, yeah, wait. For the Federalists, because it was a revolting experience. No. All right. So we're back on. There are a couple of new restaurants in town.
Well, we don't have a lot of time to talk about new restaurants, but we can talk about
the editor in chief of DC Magazine here. We should discuss them, don't you?
Well, I think what we should really be talking about. I mean, there's a real change happening here in DC with the opening of Union Market.
Agreed.
Yesterday,
yeah.
They have another big event today, and I think what they're doing there is really, it means a lot to the city because it's such an incredible concept. David doesn't love the location, so he feels...
It's not that I don't love the location. I think it's a real gamble because people are not habituated to going up New York Avenue yet for
I have good news for you, though. Just hold on. I mean, this will be... So this is Eden's, the development group who did this. This is their thing. They put out, which they're starting to do all over town, which is very exciting. They're doing
right, with Mosaic,
too.
Right.
Yeah. But... You know, this is going to lead up to that big expansion of Union Station. Mm-hmm. And so by the time we get high-speed rail,
I get it.
And they say, rumors, a big, big, fabulous hotelier is going to come there pretty quickly, pretty soon. So I think that's
Listen, I wish to God I'd bought real estate on New York Avenue 20 years ago when another friend did.
Me too.
I just think it's going to be tough because really that, I mean, Richie Brandenburg was in here and the whole thing's great. I just think it's going to be tough now because they're almost like pioneers in that area.
Yeah.
You've got XM over there.
I love the pioneers though, right?
Yeah, but I
got
to be honest with you. I think they get it. They know that it's an education curve because not only initially do they have to get DC to go there, but then they got to get all of us from the suburbs to go there.
But the point I'm making is that, you know, it's the clustering of things that creates the magnet
for people to come. But you know what? I have to tell you, people younger, smarter than me are telling me that's where they're starting to get their condos. That's where they're starting to... Whenever, oh, where do you live? Behind XM. Really?
Right.
You know, and I think that, that the two that are going to feed each other.
That's where Rob lives. That's
of course,
where Rob
see?
Lives,
yeah. Okay.
Rob, you're so smart.
Rob is thinking about himself in third person. Okay, Rob.
Just drinking this stuff helps.
But, you know, the other thing about it is they were so smart to get the best of the best, right? So everyone we actually want to go and see, who doesn't want Gina Shirsavani's, you know, spritzers? Who doesn't want Rappahannock's oysters for themselves?
Well, and so let's just to piggyback on that, I want to talk about what's open right now. Because right now, not all the vendors are open, and a lot of people will be opening in the coming weeks. So even though Union Market itself, the location has opened, O Pickles is open, Peregrine Espresso is open, the Rappahannock Oyster Guys, who are very good friends, are open, and Tacarian is open. But there are so many other places coming down the pike. Our good friend Amanda McClemens, she's opening up a tabletop store called Salt and Sundry. And then you've got Gina's new place, which is called Buffalo and Bergen. Which
don't
is good.
Get it.
I know, but whatever.
She'll explain.
She will explain it. And I know, I don't think Trickling Springs is open, but they have a, I think they have a kiosk there right now, and then they're opening something bigger. Because I know a lot of people were standing online yesterday to pick up milk, which I don't understand because you can get Trickling Springs at Whole Foods, but whatever.
Whatever, dude.
Whatever, whatever. But they're just, I think they're looking to bring in really interesting vendors and producers and to give a total and complete experience. I for one, am very excited about it.
I have a question which will occur to people. What about parking? Is there lots of
there's
parking?
Tons of parking.
Is there? Okay.
There is, because there's, you know, it's as it's set up now, of course, it's already a place for vendors. It's already, you know, these, which actually, that's my question to you. Maybe you know.
What?
Are all those going away? All those sheds with the...
Well, I think eventually that's the point. I mean, the rollout that Edens is hoping for, I mean,
it's
the long-term...
It's a huge footprint.
Yeah. The long-term plan is a tremendous... It's almost like, I hate to use this term, but it's almost like a town center there. I mean, what they plan on doing is in that town center kind of way, except around Union Market as its lead anchor. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's brilliant. They want to bring in retail. They want to bring in, you know, boutiques and shops and restaurants. I mean, they expect expanded growth.
I think the next thing that's going to be built and open, my understanding, was Brooklyn Bowls, which is a funky, cool bowling alley.
I mean, oh, really?
I think they're really trying to create experiences to get people there. But they will, of course, have... started probably, like you said, slow and build up to with each new development so that when, you know, I mean, don't forget, too, there's another really, really big center opening at, around the same time, which is City Center.
Right.
You know, once Union Market and this whole area gets up and running, you're going to have City Center down the way. And it's going
to
be
And then don't forget what they're trying to do by the waterfront, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's another area where they're trying to do something very similar. So there's three big areas in D.C. with this massive growth coming.
It's so exciting
for us, I think.
I'm excited. All right. So first of all, Karen, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Folks, if you're out there, if you can't find a book in the bookstore called True Blood, you don't deserve to read this cookbook. But other than that, go find it because it's really cool.
All right, well, let's
get
back.
It's really cool. So, wait, before we do that, I got to quickly thank the people that make this show possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say ahead of time, if you're not a sponsor of this show, boys, I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to feel bad. We might invite you back anyways. But Georgetown Bagelry, the folks at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse. Stop saying that. Every week you do that. Birch and Barley. I think I can't say Birch and Barley.
No, no, what you can
Church
do.
Key. The two founding farmers, including the very cool new one out in Potomac. Central Farm Markets and the Black's Restaurant Group. And actually, Blackjack and Pearl Dive are going to have an anniversary pretty soon, their first anniversary.
They are, and they're going to be launching those new oysters from the Rappahannock guys, which
that
live at Jeff Back's place. They brought in those oysters for us to try.
Were they wonderful?
Oh,
it was amazing.
They were really good.
No, we did a whole show around it. It was great. But
and the best part was they were free.
Well, probably not the best part. Maybe the second best part.
I enjoyed the free
Apparently
part.
You don't know my husband.
All right,
very
now
well.
You do. All right, so I want to get back to Rob and Harper.
What?
You think I don't know their names?
I hope you know their names.
That would be Harper. That would be Ron.
Says it right on my coat, man.
Okay.
Man,
okay. So
are you guys married?
About...
Anybody married? It's just.
Can we talk about the big pig event today?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Go RG3. Redskins are going to roll today.
No, not that pig. The pig you're cooking up.
In honor of
RG3.
Of RG3 and the rest of the football players who will be playing today. We will be roasting a couple of pigs on our patio, kicking off about 4:30, pun intended. And we're partnering up with Eco-Friendly Foods. Beverly Eggleston, very good friend of mine, dropped off little babies, 45, 50 pounders.